This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you from Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus in British Columbia.
On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes,
today we're going to look back at some of the best moments from this past year. So we're going to play clips and previous episodes and offer a little commentary around them. And just because it's us, we're also going to be sipping a few of our favorites because...
Of course.
It's us.
We're the Sips Crew, and we're going to be talking about our best whiskey picks for 2024. It's been a good year for whiskey, boys.
A great year.
And hopefully 2025 will be a great year as well.
Our smokes episodes for season 12 were epic.
Epic.
Of great cigars. So many great brands and so many great cigars. We got the joy of being able to smoke. Several of our hosts are going to pick some of their top choice cigars. Some of these will be featured on the show, and some of these didn't make it on air this season.
We'll be right back after this break. Live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds. It's time for more Suds.
Hello, friends. It's time to wrap up our 12th season of Suds segments.
12.
Today, we're going to look back at some of the best moments from this past year. I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and joining me today is good old boy Kendall.
Wow, that's a lot of years.
Good old boy Carl.
I think I only have 12 pairs of underwear.
Good old boy Mike.
That's more fingers than I have.
And good old boy Dave.
I have exactly that many fingers.
So we're going to play clips and previous episodes and offer a little commentary around them. And just because it's us, we're also going to be sipping a few of our favorites because...
Of course.
It's us.
Everything we're covering today was rated a 5, just like me. We won't play the full discussion on each of these, but you can check the show notes to find the full episode for each of our top picks.
Okay, let's get going. Do you want some ED drugs with that cider?
Oh, this is a great episode. This is a really hard question.
It was the Cidre DuPont Reserve 2016 traditional cider matured for 6 months in Calvados casks. Okay, speaking of some good cider.
Hard.
We need to get back to our core topic.
Yeah.
Cider.
Let's go to the DuPont Reserve from Domaine DuPont in Vito Ponfol,
yeah,
France.
Sounds good.
6.9%
ABV.
Sounds
like something's caught in your left nostril.
Oh, jeez. So the family DuPont family, the famille DuPont family estate consists of 74 acres of orchards in Normandy. And they've been doing this for a very long time. They also produced Pommeau, am I saying that right? As well as Calvados. And
those are varieties of apples.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
I think this episode showed why the French hate Americans.
just and one of many reasons.
Yeah. Isn't it Calvados?
Is it?
Yeah, Calvados. Yeah.
I always say Calvados.
That sounds like avocados.
Yes, yeah. I know. That is correct. It's a southern slang.
It's a slut?
Yeah. It's a slut? I think it's just a thing with a nut in it.
I remember that girl, Calvados. She was such a slut.
Look, I love this cider. And every time somebody says, you know, Mike, what is your very favorite cider of all time?
DuPont. It was one of
DuPont
the best
DuPont Reserve
ciders.
Is yeah. just hands down the best thing that I've ever had. And I've had a lot of great cider.
Yeah, if you're going to a cider party, Like, I don't even know if that's a thing. Just take that.
But you need to bring this. Yes.
And it was great that we had it on the show.
Wait, there are cider parties?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Underground cider party.
Deep in cider.
Underground.
Great start.
Yeah, it's like a punk show. It's in some basement somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Okay.
What's next, JB?
Moving on. Duker's, our favorite. It's the dead guy. Maybach. 6.8% ABV from Rogue.
So I was thinking this is one of the greatest albums of the 90s and really made a name for Green Day in the 90s. So I went with a beer that also was kind of birthed in the 90s and grew legendary. And that is Rogue's Dead Guy Ale.
That's such a good beer, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, it plays along with the kind of somber, grungy thing with the skeleton. But he's also kind of fun. He's holding a beer. He's having a good time.
He's having a good time.
And I thought it just really pairs well with 90s craft beer with 90s beer.
Cool.
And also a beer that has stood the test of time. 30 years later, we're still drinking it.
Very true.
So that was from one of our beer club episodes with good old boy Kendall. It's shorter format episodes where we all listen to an album and we each pick a beer that we thought paired well with that album. And that was good old boy Kendall's pick.
Yeah, and we're drinking it right now, too, and I still love this beer.
Still great beer.
It's such a classic, wonderful beer.
Yeah. And maybe slightly off topic, but what they've done with their can rebranding has also been awesome.
Excellent, yeah, absolutely.
Focusing in on the skeleton guy who's having a great time.
The dead guy.
They really, and matte black cans, they really brought something from the 90s current into today's market.
Very iconic, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really tough to stand the test of time, you know, with one style beer, and especially with Maybach, where, I mean, there are probably, you know, a couple hundred Maybachs that easily have been produced over this period of time. This beer has stood the test of time. So
especially in the American
fantastic
market,
beer.
The U.S. craft beer market.
I think a lot of it has to do with the guy on the front. That skeleton dude is what sells this beer.
Non-threatening. Yeah.
He's like the old school king of grunge. Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
I think he's very threatening.
I think it's because I think you guys slept there on site. That's what really happened that make this work, right?
I did sleep at a Rogue facility one time.
Yes, you did.
They do have an inn, folks. Yeah. I did not sleep in a tap room.
I passed out behind Black Abbey once. I'm not bragging about it.
You too?
Yeah.
Oh, those pumps are so good.
Wow. Okay, moving on. You are treating your body like an amusement park.
Great episode.
Oh my gosh. It was all about the Wiseacre.
I will tell you that I love this pack. Before we even get into it, I seek this pack out when I'm going to parties for two reasons.
Okay.
One, it's Tennessee local.
Yeah.
Two, it's a great pack of lagers. And
yeah.
Craft lagers.
Yeah.
And so it is always something just very approachable. I can, you know, bring to a party. I know I'm bringing something good and it's kind of, you know, it's something that's approachable for most people, especially Mike, like you were saying, you have people that are afraid of hops, you know, like
this is definitely for a lot of that beyond Budweiser crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Is how I would describe this. The thing that I like about this particular choice is having Tiny Bomb in any variety pack. I am totally in. So I consider the Tiny Bomb American Lager from Wiseacre is like one of the top five, you know, standard pilsners for American craft. Great beer.
Right. So this was part of the Wiseacre Lager Life variety pack. We were doing an episode on mixed 12 packs. And I mean, Wiseacre like knocked it out of the park. Like everything in that mix pack was just perfect.
It was just so good
for the summer life.
The Memphis Sands is one of my favorite beers. And if you're in Memphis, you can buy a 24 pack of 16 ounce cans. It's pretty great. And they just won a GABF gold for Skydog.
So, nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's they are
good for them.
Still
really
kicking
nailing it on the lagers.
Yeah.
Memphis has the softest water in the United States. It's softer than Pilsen. So the water in Memphis is perfect for making this style of beer.
Oh, wow.
And Wiseacre absolutely crushes it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that we, you know, went through the variety pack because there are just so many great beers that are really, they're producing on a repetitive basis, but I'm sorry, I'm just going to say the same thing. Tiny Bomb is just the all-time Pilsner reference store.
Right. Yeah. So, beer. Memphis, so. Lagers, barbecue, stabbing.
Yeah, for sure. Elvis.
The best thing you can do in Memphis is go to a bar called the Slider Inn and get a Jameson slushy.
Wait.
You're welcome.
Oh, interesting. Called the what?
The Jameson slushy.
Slider Inn.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Okay.
Two ends.
Next, the original three-way. Fresh Picks R&D Italian Style Pilsner. Right before the break, we started talking about from the R&D series, their Italian Pilsner, which is a 5% ABV Italian Pilsner. And
I just asked a Kendall, do you go to Italia and get these hops?
Banned.
Or do you ship the hops across the world?
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. They're getting Italian hops. I'm not aware of many varieties of Italian hops that would work for something like this. So it's really cool because, you know, most hops are coming from a little bit farther north. So these must be grown, I'm guessing, up towards the Alps.
Venice. Eraclea is a small city and commune in the metropolitan city of Venice.
Well, that's where they're grown to malt, right?
That was the hops, I thought. Oh, no, you're right.
Oh, it is the malt.
You're right. I'm sorry.
But either way, fantastic beer. I just love this beer. It's one of my favorite they've got on right now.
I just had to include Mike's crappy Italian accent.
Of course.
I thought that was the best part of the story.
That was funny.
I thought the best part was Drew getting it wrong.
Yes. Well, that was good, too. That was good.
Great beer.
Love these guys. Sonder out of Cincinnati is now my new favorite Cincinnati brewery. And, I mean, I love some of the others that are there, but they're just doing some really cool things.
I think it's the best Italian Pilsner made outside of Italy.
It's the best Italian Pilsner I've had in the past couple of years. Really good. Really well done.
And last but certainly not least, you need to touch it to taste it. This is the Pumpkin Spice Walla Latte, 10W40.
A good pumpkin beer?
Nice. Shocking.
It's beautiful.
This is nice.
Yeah. This is nice.
This is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, this...
And it's not just because it's compared to everything else that we've had so far.
No, it is complex. The spice is balanced with the stout. The stout has its own character shining through. Yeah. It's got a dryness to it. Yeah.
Soothing to me right now.
Very soothing. But soothing on many levels, you know, because... Okay. This is when pumpkin is done right, because it's a stout, which we can all agree because of the dark color. And they make a good stout to begin with.
Yeah, the 1040 is always really good.
Yeah. Okay, we're rating this one a 5.
Yes.
Now, for those of you that are trying to catch up, this is the High Wire Spice Walla Pumpkin Latte 10W40.
In a world where we drink a dozen pumpkin beers... or so.
It's such a bad idea.
Yeah.
It was nice to actually have something.
It was a rough show, and I hate pumpkin beers. Everybody knows how much I hate pumpkin beers. I like this beer. Highwire did a really good job. It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
We've brewed a couple of collabs with them, and they are such good dudes, and I'm so glad to know them, and absolutely heartbroken about what's happened with them with the floods and whatnot, but they've been great.
Yes.
Well, that's going to end it for us.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and this is our Best of the Year show, so we're the Sips crew, and we're going to be talking about our best whiskey picks for 2024. We're going to start with Brent. What was your pick of the year?
This was unanimous. It was the Brown-Forman King of Kentucky, the 16-year, 130.4 proof.
Awful stuff. Awful.
Yeah, this, I mean, I think when we tasted it, everybody said, like, oh, if we could all have this as our pick of the year for sure, you know.
It's either this or Arcane.
Oh, yeah. No. Barely beat that out. No. But this is everything you want in a whiskey and in a bourbon, and it's just beautiful. It's so mouth-coating. All the flavors are there, the vanilla, the tobacco, the wood, the leather, the spices, and it just coats your mouth. It gives you that big Kentucky hug. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this is probably up there. I mean, one of the best whiskeys I've ever had. And that says something, you know. I mean, look how many we've tasted.
I was gonna say, yeah, as much as you drunk. You know, so. I'm not even talking about the show. So. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was a pretty good one. Anything else sort of struck your fancy? Maybe a runner-up?
Yeah, I have a runner-up. I have the Bernheim Kentucky Straight Wheat Whiskey, barrel proof, the A224. We tried that. That was like a new product. And that's one that really caught my fancy. Loved it. I mean, I might have picked that one if this one hadn't come along.
All right. Well, we're going to go. Harm's pick was the Old Pulteney 21. So we're going to play a clip from that episode when he was talking.
Green fennel, sandalwood, lemon, orange, licorice. It just keeps coming and coming. Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is crazy.
How soon can you get this, Harm?
Creamy note?
How soon can you get this?
It's Friday.
Skip the mortgage payment by the
end. I hate to admit it. He's right. There is green fennel.
Yeah, it's all there, dude.
My fennel is always green. What about you?
Man. You can get black fennel. I don't have any fennel at all.
Yeah.
None.
To me, green fennel is redundant. It's like saying.
Now, you can get black fennel, too.
I mean, we're recording this in January for broadcast sometime later in the year, but I'm telling you right now, I've already hit one of my candidates for best whiskey of 2024.
Yeah, right.
Without a doubt. So that'll tell you right there, we were on in January. Yeah. So
it's the test of time on that one.
Justin, what was your pick for best of the year?
It was the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Special Release Coy Hill Barrel House 8. This was a firebomb. Unbelievable sweetness, heat, the finish. It goes on for many minutes. It's an all-day sipper.
That's about most words we've got out of him in about 5 years.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I'm not even going to poke him or anything. I'm afraid he'll like take some of them back. Well, we're gonna go and see what Maury picked. And Maury picked the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon. So let's see what he had to say about that one.
It's improved in the glass quite a bit. I mean, I thought it was great when I poured it, and it's only gotten better with a little bit of air. It's really just beautiful. The fruits are juicy. They jump out in the front palate, the oak, the warm cinnamon. I mean, you guys really nailed it on all the notes. And then the finish just goes on and on and on. That sweet tobacco is really neat. The ground cinnamon, the cocoa. I just think that it's delicious. Is it the best birthday bourbon ever? I don't know that I could say that, but it's never disappointing.
Cocoa?
I think that's what the guy screamed when the F-35 went over his house.
How did we let him get away? How did we get away with that? I don't care.
Oh, we're rip on him now.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true.
Not too late. It's the best of the year show.
Yeah, it's only 9 o'clock at night.
It's the best rip of the year.
So that was the Old Forester birthday. That was Maury's pick. And we actually have a pick with good old boy Mike.
Hey, thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. Every year we have so many wonderful things we get to try here on Sips, Suds, and Smokes, and it seems like there's always, you know, an exceptional product that just kind of jumps out at you. And this year it's from Glenmorangie, and it's the ice cream. It is the tale of ice cream, you know, it's basically remembered by Dr. Bill. And I think that's what I really love about this particular product. It's just really, it's very decadent, it's very sweet. has an awful lot of peaches and vanilla on it. And part of it is that they actually chose to use a toasted new oak barrel for the first time as a finishing barrel. And, you know, I think for people that are making things in Scotland and, you know, working with new cask is not something that they do on a regular basis. So I really enjoyed the innovation, but more importantly, the finished product was just really amazing. So if you get a chance to try this, I really think it's a great rendition. It's A Tale of Ice Cream, again, by Glenmorangie. My sips rating for this is going to be a 5.
Well, it's hard to argue with him on that one, as that really was an excellent whiskey. I got a hold of a sample of that, and really, really delicious. So that's going to take us to my best pick. So my best pick of the year was the William LaRue Weller 2024 release. Always every year for me, it's the Stag, but this year, oh, that Weller is so good. It's just, it's molasses and toffee, and it's just, it just smells dark. But there's just so much, there's so many layers to this thing, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on. I think this is, I mean, there have been some great Weller, but I think this is one of the better ones I've had in the last 4 or 5 years. This one is really, really top notch. So that's my best pick of the year. But we had some amazing whiskeys this year as well. I mean, just looking through the list, I mean, that Cavillon Vino Barrique private barrel that we had, that thing was insane. I mean, just so really, just so well done. And Jack was very kind to us this year. Not only was that Coy Hill, but we did the twice barreled special release Heritage Barrel Rye. If you remember that,
that one. That was a really good one too. That one stuck out a lot.
And then we also that same show we had the single barrel proof rye, which I'm pretty much convinced. No offense, just stop making Old Never Seven. Just make that. Make nothing else. Just make that. That's all you ever need to make again. Barrel proof. Leave it alone. Single barrel. Don't do anything else. And me and Brent will buy pretty much everything you make. So. The Benriach 40 this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God. The, you know, the Jack 10 and 12 year old batch 3 and 2. And I can't go without mentioning that last drop 40 year old 15th anniversary blend. That thing was amazing.
All the last drops we had this year were off the chain.
Well, we did that 32 year old single malt Irish whiskey too.
Yeah.
That was good. But
it was
that
really good.
But that 40 was just that was
another
up there.
World.
That was up there. That Benriach was just ungodly good. I mean even I think Harm was even talking about it. Hold on.
The color is a beautiful dark amber with reddish glints. The nose is raisins. And a little bit of heat, which was surprising to me at 87 proof. But that was before the air got to it. Now with air, it's gorgeous. It's surprisingly gorgeous. I mean, it's
just gotten better.
It's raisins and plums and cherries and cedar and some little bit of chocolate. On the palate, it's all about stone fruit and hold on.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that one was fantastic. So it's been a good year for whiskey, boys.
A great year.
Been a really good year for whiskey. So that's our whiskey picks for best of the year. So let's go over and shift to our wine picks. So, Justin, what was your pick for best wine of the year?
So this year I picked the Alpha Omega Cabernet Sauvignon Beckstoffer to Cologne 2018. It's 14.8% alcohol by volume. It's 100% Cabernet Sauvignon, 90% barrel fermented, 10% stainless steel tank fermented, aged 22 months in French oak, 80% of it's new, 20% from a one-year-old barrel.
Well, what'd you think about it?
It was really complex, but balanced. Mm-hmm. And those are two really difficult things to pull off. On the nose, I got like lilacs, matchbox, cantaloupe, sawdust, pencil lead, chocolate powder, wet steel, underbrush, pencil shavings. On the palate, was silky, yet fresh, evolving on fine tannins, lingering to elevated tannins on the finish. Notes of fruit punch, lavender, hints of rosemary, toasted rye bread, uncured bacon, black currant, key lime pie, orange peel, white peach, pomegranate, candied cherry. This place is off the chain. And to balance all those weird notes, wow.
Well, it was definitely, I mean, I was extremely impressed with all of their wines, but it's, you know, it's a Tokelon. It's, you know, it's going to be good. And it did not disappoint. So let's see, what did Harm pick? He picked the Catherine Hall Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2019. Let's see what he had to say in the episode.
There's a reason I like this wine. I'm just saying. This is all about ripe black fruit, herbs, and chocolate and licorice on the nose. And so beautiful. Earthy, dark, chocolatey, blackberries, graphite. That, you know, the tannins are there. You get that beautiful grip. It starts out lush, and then it gives you that good grip that you know you're drinking something with age-worthy. And the finish is with tobacco and fruit, and it's long. And I could drink this all day. There's a reason I like this wine.
Yeah, it was fantastic wine. And Justin and I went and visited them earlier this year and had some other wine there that was just as good, if not better. I mean, it's a beautiful winery. If you're out that way, definitely check out the Hall Winery. They have the one in the valley, and then they have the one up on the mountain. So our next pick was from good old gal Denise, and she picked the Pine Ridge Stag's Leap District Cabernet Sauvignon. So,
yeah. It should turn into a fabulous wine, and it is. You know, it has that deep, dark garnet red color, which is just so beautiful. And the nose has a really interesting Coca-Cola, I don't know, aromatic presence. And it's also, for me, a little herbal. And I always love herbal notes. I think I've mentioned this several times today. So the nose is fantastic. But then when you try it and you get these chocolate-covered fruits, like a deep, dark blueberry or a blackberry, and then more herbal notes on the palate. But the kicker is the tea. A teetotaler myself. I love tea. I especially love Earl Grey tea. And to get that note into a wine glass is just amazing. And I've seen Earl Grey itself blended with many things, even though it's not in here. But you get those notes. And I just think that it really balances it out. And it just makes it an interesting and delicious wine.
Yeah, that was a good one as well.
Yeah. Remember we went to Napa and we had that Earl Grey champagne?
Mm-hmm.
That was insane. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think it would work, but it worked.
Yeah, Chandon.
Yeah.
Her description just makes you want to dive into it.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, and our next wine for best of the year was Maury, and he picked the Croy Estate 12 Rose Chardonnay. So let's see what he had to say in the episode about that one.
Thank you, Bob. This is a really light, pale straw color. On the nose, I get all kinds of things going on. I've got some citrus. I've got vanilla. I've got creme brulee. On the palate, it's got a beautiful mouthfeel. It's got everything I want in a Chardonnay. It's got some butter. It's got some oak. It's got some vanilla.
You didn't get pear? I got pear, too. Everything you said is right. I agree with everything.
I didn't get a lot of pear, but now that you mention it, there's a hint of pear.
It's yellow pears.
I just thought it was delightful. It's got a long finish. It's everything I like in a California Chardonnay. I thought it was well made. I thought it was fantastic. It's really improved in the glass. It was a bit cold when we first poured it. It's warmed up to room temperature. It's had a chance for a little air in the glass. I find this delicious.
Yeah, that one. I mean, all the wines from Croy, and we also went to Croy when we were out in January. And it's a little winery. It's sort of like a passion project with Kurt Vange. And the wines were fantastic. But that Chardonnay was the one that stunned me.
Yeah.
because I don't think we had that when we were out there, and all the other wines were really good, but compared to that Shard, it was that thing was far and away just insanely good. And I'm not a big Shard guy, so
Quite that, really blew me away. I think that's my favorite Sonoma winery. Yeah. May not be big, but it's mighty.
Well, that's what I like about it. It's not big. You know, I like the little one.